Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Happy Monday to you. We are back. What a weekend. This weekend went fast. This weekend went real fast. Hello, everybody. This is PLR. This is the Cave Show with PLR. And, I mean, the weekend blew by. I can't think of one thing that I could say I planned to do this weekend and got it done and then looked up Sunday night and it was Sunday night. But a lot of stuff happened. We have NHL news. They did coronavirus testing. The devil. We had D-back news. We've got Phoenix Suns talk. The D-backs announced their starters. We'll get into that. NFL safety issues. You had months to get ready. And now you're coming up with contingency plans. I'll explain why the NFL is not as worried as you would think they should be. The Washington football team touched on this last week, but it continues. Now we have BS apology letters. And the Toronto Blue Jays, again, we've had time for them to work out their situation with Canada. And now it's time, and they're not ready. Oh, and Tiger sucked at the Memorial. We'll get all that. We'll do that right here on the Cave Show with PLR. Like I said, this is PLR, and we're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That is Alma School in Chandler Heights, locally in Chandler. Give them a call. Let them know that you're coming down here. If it's something you want to do quick, check this out. They will have your order ready for you. Tell them the sticks you want. You look online. You tell them. They'll bring it out to curbside. And you get 10% off your cigar purchase by telling them PLR sent you. Or if you say, you know what, I don't have to rush. I have time. I can sit down and relax. Even better. They have a ton of televisions up. It's always sports on somewhere. You can do that, sit down, enjoy your cigar. Or let's say you can't do either one of those two. You can go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com, and they'll ship them to you. Most orders are shipped the exact same day. So what are you waiting for? That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, one of the best selections in the Valley of the Sun. Let them know PLR sent you, and they will take care of you with 10% off of your cigar purchase. This Thursday, we will be doing a best of show. So we will not be there Thursday for the Cave Show. More than likely, it will be Friday. I will keep you updated as we get closer, but I'm looking more at Friday. It's looking like Friday will be our day down there this week. So let's get rolling. Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. And we'll jump right in and we'll do the NFL first today because there's a couple of different issues, obviously, with the Washington football team. That's an issue on its own. We don't even have to really break down what the issues are with them. But over the weekend, The Washington football team owner decided that they would write a letter. Daniel Snyder and his wife basically apologized for their actions. and or let me rephrase it, not their actions, because they were not held liable for anything that happened. So that would be unfair for me to say their actions. But they apologized for those affected by the situation. It says that the letter starts out, "We are sad and disappointed." So I want to read you a part of this. So that way you can kind of understand where I'm going to come from when I tell you what I think of their letter. "The actions in this story have no place in our franchise or society. As you may be aware, when the past issues outlined in the article were initially brought to our attention, they were addressed at the time. However, some of these issues were brought forth by only, in the last few days, and we have subsequently made changes and addressed them as well. Clearly, there's work to be done to build a better organizational culture. We need to get better, and the time is now. To create the culture we all want, we need your help. We want you to be part of the process. As we go forward, you will hear more from our leadership team in the near future about this action plan. In closing, we want to thank you for everything you do for this organization. This offseason has been trying and difficult, and your work and commitment mean everything. We are committed to ensuring this organization is one that promises a high standard of personal conduct while also representing the values of inclusiveness, respect, and diversity." Okay. I'm crying and calling BS from the first word in that statement. Listen to the way he's saying this. The way he's writing this, or his lawyer wrote it for him, he's disassociating himself. When you are the owner of an organization that has been disrespecting and mistreating women, the way that your organization has done it for as long as it has done it, that is 100% BS. I do know I have a caller online. Give me just 1 minute and I'm going to open this up. 917-889-7828. Carrie Lackey online. Give me 1 minute. Let me just finish the thought. I cry utter and unadulterated BS. Because as an owner, you should not say, "We are committed to ensuring this organization is one that promises a high standard." You should be saying, "I am committed to you. I. Who's we? I didn't know Daniel Snyder was French." That shows you where his mindset is. He is not sorry for anything. He's sorry that he looks bad, and he's sorry that he got caught. Who the hell is we are going to do better? No, sir, you need to do better. You need to do more. And I'll get into this more or continue, but I do want to get my caller in because he's been waiting for a minute. Thanks for hanging on. This is The Cave Show with PLR.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Hey, Lou, what's up, buddy? How are you?
But better than Dan Snyder, that's for sure. Oh, boy. Getting us up in hot water. First, the changing of the guard with the team name, and now all these allegations brought up against him. As if he has enough trouble, and the Redskins, the Whatnots, I should say, are in enough trouble already. Yeah, I'm referring to the team now as the Whatnots.
He's an idiot. When there's an issue, I'm not saying Mark Cuban is this great, innocent, do-it-right guy, but when allegations came out against his team, the first thing he did was get out in front of it. Then he went on the jump, and Rachel Nichols let him have it. She scolded him left and right and asked him, "How do you not know what's going on in your organization?" His words were, and I'm not going to direct quote, but his words were, I should have known. I should have done better. I will do better.
Mm-hmm.
This idiot in Washington, we will. We need your help too. How do you – okay, Lou, maybe I seem a little bit more upset about this than I should, but how do you tell someone who's being sexually harassed to help you stop sexually harassing him? That sounds idiotic.
You can't.
So instead of saying, we need your help to change the culture, no, the people that are being harassed need your help to change the culture.
Yeah, why
do
I got someone do it?
I don't know who wrote the letter for him, because obviously someone did. And if he did, I don't know why they didn't let him reread it first or say, yo, man, you might want to think about the words here. But that may have to be one of the most asinine letters of, I guess, redemption or retribution or apology. I don't know what you want to call it. But I think the letter is just as insulting as the actions. If you go out, Lou, if you go out right now and hit someone in the face real hard at a bar, and you walk back up to me and go, you know what, we're real sorry about the culture that went on in this bar. Could you help me not hit you in the face next time? How stupid does that sound?
What are you, some kind of an idiot? First of all, you decked me, and then you want to say, oh, it's the culture's fault? No, it's your fault, you dumbass. You got drunk, and now you're taking on somebody else, and now you want them to help you? What, are you nuts?
I mean,
it's we stuff. Why drag us all into it? It's not our fault. It's your fault.
Well, and when you say we as an organization, you are the leader of the Washington Redskins. Mm-hmm. We have to do better. You have to do better. There was no individual accountability in that bullshit letter that he wrote. It was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
It was terrible. So, I always have a problem in life when people treat the victim like they're the ones that should come up with the problem. Now, and I hate when people say, oh, well, don't be a victim. There are times where you are a victim.
That's right.
There are times. And when you're a victim, it is not up to you to fix the problem all the time when you're trying to work for a company that's trying to make you stay a victim. Yeah, they could have left. Okay. If they leave, why should they have to leave a job that they're qualified for because the people that they're working for are being the asses? So their punishment is to be unemployed? That makes no sense.
No.
So something up your alley, though. I see the NHL. Your timing is perfect. The NHL conducted their double test, and there was only two positives.
Only two players tested positive. That's pretty good.
That's really good. Hopefully they can keep it like that and pull that off.
I hope so, too. You know, but getting back just a minute for what you were mentioning, I'll take an old quote from a Bugs Bunny cartoon with Daffy Duck. It's not he doesn't shoot you now. It's he doesn't shoot me now. So you get the point with that.
I know, I get you.
Shoot me now, so shoot me now. I just thought it would be a good tie-in to that.
No, I hear you. The more Daniel Snyder speaks, the more I wish he'd shut up. And the more he shuts up, the more I wish someone would say to him, dude, take accountability for what your team did. Take accountability.
Or you know, like, or but, I'm like E.F. Hutton, when you talk, nobody listens.
No. And now if he comes back, see, I think this is what people fail to understand. If you don't take initial accountability, or then when people are saying to you something, you don't come out and be contrite about taking initial accountability, everything after that is bullcrap.
Oh, yeah.
And it comes out as bullcrap. And so
it is.
If he comes out now and says, you know what, I thought about it more, he's going to get slammed for that too now because people are going to go, you had to think about not taking accountability for women being mistreated. I mean, you know what? So here's my issue with ownerships. Mm-hmm. And I understand this. I have to be real careful when I say this because I want to make sure I don't mix up my words. I don't think necessarily people should be driven out of business based on the fact that they're an asshole.
Right.
Okay, so in saying that, I don't think necessarily he should have to sell his team for two reasons. One, if okay. we did that to everyone that was an asshole, everyone, a lot of people in this country will lose their business. Two,
correct.
When you force people out, like a Donald Sterling, when you force them out, even though you're forcing them out of something that they want to be part of, you cannot force them out unless you force them out with monetary gain. So Donald Sterling, who bought the Clippers for little to nothing, made $2 billion off of them. So what kind of punishment did he really get? When Richardson was forced to sell the Carolina Panthers, he got a whole lot of money. What punishment is he really getting? So
nothing.
If you're not forcing them out and forcing them out with monetary repercussions, are you really punishing them? I go back to there was a store in Missouri. I forget where it's at exactly. They sell Confederate flags. Excuse me, they sell Confederate flags. And there were people protesting them selling the flag and saying they should be put out of business. I say be careful of what you're asking for. Because, one, if they get put out of business, that doesn't mean people stop getting Confederate flag. It means that people start making them in their basement. People start making them in their garages and passing them out for free. So it doesn't stop that. Maybe educate people on what it is and what it means and the symbol that it has. But you can't run them out of business for it. It's not something you can do. Because I tell people this for presidents. People that were friends of mine said, we don't like Bush. Well, then vote him out. Well, we don't like Obama. Well, then vote him out. You don't like Trump. Well, then vote him out. You elections have repercussions. So what I say to people that didn't like Bush, be careful what laws of those – I'm sorry, the people that like Bush, be careful what power you give him, because the next time there's a president, and it may not be someone you like, and they use the same power that you let Bush have, you're not going to like it. Be careful the power you give Obama, because if you don't like it, if you like him and you like what he's doing, the next person's going to take that power up another notch. Same thing now. Be careful what you're saying, because if Trump either gets voted out or in the next 20 years he's out, all the power that you let him have, if the next president isn't your guy and uses it, you're going to be mad. So be careful when you're trying to wish people out of businesses, because someone might want to wish you out of yours. So I'm real leery about stuff like that. But he's an idiot. And if he's going to sell his team, that pressure has to come from within or other owners, not from us.
Right. I mean, that whole we stuff, you know, we're on this together. No, we're not. You screwed up. You made mistakes. But you want us to pay for it. No. Sorry.
You're the owner.
That way.
You're the owner. You're the culture setter. If you're the owner and you're the culture setter, it's up to you, Daniel Snyder, to make that change. It's up to you. When you put words like we in there, you're saying basically all of us. No, buddy, it's you.
It's you. When you make a mistake, you gotta own up to it.
Own up to it.
But you didn't. And that's what makes you the dumbass of the week, maybe even of the year.
He was my doofus of the week last week. And you know what?
That's
he's
the
so
doofus.
Far,
right.
Yep. So far, he's the leading candidate of doofus of the week this week. I know we're just on Monday, but that letter,
you know,
I had off to a good start.
When you mentioned about doofus of the week, I kind of had a feeling where it was going to go, and I had a feeling it was going to be Snyder. I wonder if my Washington colleagues think, though. Oh, boy. Oh, I'm going to hear an earful this on Saturday. Oh. By the way, thanks for calling the show on Saturday, Paul.
Hey, my pleasure. Appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah. I just can't imagine what they're going to say on Saturday if they call in. They might be afraid to call in.
Yeah.
Oh.
But yes, sir.
Washington whatnots.
The Washington whatnots.
Listen,
my friend. I got to jump on you. I got to take a commercial break, but I thank you for calling. Listen, no show on Thursday is going to be a replay. I have a freeloader in my house that's turning 9. So I'm spending the day with with the family.
You got a freeloader. Who, you got to do something about that.
That's my son. I know. I can't do nothing about it. I'm stuck with
that's
it.
That family's different. Family's different.
Yeah, yeah. I'm stuck with that freeloader till I get him through college. So he turns nine. He turns nine, so he has my whole day Thursday.
My niece is eight, so you know, I know what you mean. I have an 8-year-old niece.
Yep. But
okay,
all right, buddy. Hope to hear from you tomorrow.
Right.
All right. Thanks, Lou. Always good to catch up with Lou. Listen, I have like 3 callers online. Bear with me. Got to take a couple quick commercial breaks. We'll be right back on the other side. That Washington segment went a lot longer than I anticipated. Anyway, this is the Cave Show with PLR. We will be right back with you.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend, and I said, "Hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR."
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining us this Monday afternoon. Man, I got going on that Washington tangent. It's crazy things. I have to get it out. But like I said, this is The Cave Show with PLR. Thank you very much and welcome back. Couple quick things. If you ever miss any part of the show, make sure you're checking us out. 3 o'clock is the replay on KSRN. Download the app from your Apple App Store, Google Play Store. Check us out there. You also can always go to the sportscave.com. Cave is with the K. That's where you'll see some of our interviews, some of our featured shows that we've done in the past that you can check out. Also, you can click on the Listen Live button, and it will catalog all of our shows. Grab one that you like. Grab someone that you like listening to. Replay it. Check it out. Again, that's at the sportscave.com. Cave is with the K. We are back. Ready to roll on this Monday. Fired up week. Like I said, there's so much going on. Still got the Diamondbacks to get into. Still got the Suns to get into. Still got the rest of the NFL to get into. So we're going to do all that. We're going to open up the phone lines, though. 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. I have 4 callers on hold. I apologize if I get these out of order, but you are on The Cave Show with PLR.
Yes, hello?
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. How are you
today?
Yes,
thanks, sir. Bill Law, sir. Thanks for taking my call. How are you doing?
Hey, no worries. Good, thank you. What'd you have on your mind?
Yes, sir. I was hoping to talk a little about the NBA and some of the predictions for the playoffs coming up.
Sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you already make a pick as far as who you think is going to win the finals? For sure.
I did not. Do me a favor, and I'm sorry. Tell me your name, caller.
Mike.
I did not. And I was trying to wait until we got as close to the season starting as possible, just because, for example, I cover the Suns, and I have a good idea who's actually there and who's not, even though Monty won't exactly say it yet. And so other teams are kind of in the same boat. There are players that aren't there yet. And I kind of want to get a feel of who's going to be there, who's going to be back before I make that. But just on outside looking in, I don't hold me to it, but I would say it's either going to be the Clippers or the Lakers.
Okay. Yeah, I would say for sure the Lakers are concerned. I think they're going to get knocked out in the first round. I think the perfect type of number one seed. Because if you look back the last couple of years in the history of the NBA, whenever a number one seed gets knocked out by an eight, it's usually a team that has a top-heavy roster and has a really bad bench. And so in a lot of ways, the Lakers have that exact formula. And the team they could potentially face, the team that I think will be the eight seed, is the Memphis Grizzlies. If you look at their team, they probably have the best bench in the NBA by far. And they have an entirely fully healthy roster now. And the one addition they have, which I think is extra in the series, will be Justice Winslow. Give them on the perimeter defensively, especially against LeBron. And I think they're going to get overmatched at the point. Now that Rondo's out, they're going to have nothing to deal with John Morant. And they've got two young defensive bigs who can do a pretty solid job on Anthony Davis in Jaren Jackson Jr. and Brandon Clark. And so because of that, I think the Lakers are going to be in trouble in the first round. If Memphis or New Orleans doesn't get it, then they should be fine. But if either one of those two teams get it, they're going to get knocked out in six games. But as far as the finals are concerned, I think the Bucks are going to win it easily, to be honest. I just think that they're due, and, you know, the experience is there. The Clippers have the talent, obviously the most talented, but we've yet to see them play together for any extended period of time with the main starting unit. So that's the only reason I put caution. But if they play to the potential, I agree with you, the Clippers will probably win it also.
So let me ask you this question, two questions actually. Are you not worried with Milwaukee at all, not even advancing to the finals in their past, so they won't really know what to do in terms of experience when they get there? That's one question. And second question, isn't LeBron really the magic elixir to get the Lakers at least to the finals or at least to the conference finals against the Clippers?
Yeah, to your first question, I'd say it's not the same in the sense that there's no home court advantage. So, like, the stage of being in the finals, it won't be the same like in normal years. You know, so that part alone makes me feel like it won't be that big of a problem, especially considering Milwaukee just went on a pretty deep run last year. To your second question about LeBron, this idea of LeBron being this magic elixir to get to the finals is not really – it's not a real thing, because he basically did it in a weak Eastern Conference where they had no other real great rival for years. So if he had been, let's say he had been with the Lakers for the last 6-7 years, how many times do you think he would have went to the finals?
Mike, you're trying to get people to at me again, because I said the same thing and they added me like crazy. So are you trying to get people to at me again because I keep saying I thought the East was weak? I think you're trying to get me in trouble again. But I agree with you. I don't think he would have went to 8 finals in a row either. So yeah, Mike, you're trying to get me in trouble though. I don't understand why you're trying to get me in trouble.
Hey, man, and in this day and age, for whatever reason, people are throwing their emotions that when you drop logic and facts, they just their minds can't accept it. It's unreal. I'm serious, man, on everything. It's crazy. I'm sure you probably agree that MJ is obviously a better than LeBron, right? You're not falling into that whole LeBron's the greatest of all time.
Oh, no, not even close. Now, again, I get the S for that because I am from Chicago, all facts out there. But I was just on a show as a guest over the weekend, and someone asked a question. If there was 5 seconds left on the clock and you had Michael or LeBron, and they started asking, and I literally said, stop asking a question right there, because there's no need for you to – once you said Michael – every name you said after that, you should have said, after Mike, who would you have
take
the shot? So, and then I referred him back to The Last Dance. So, no, I'm not one of those people. Michael Jordan is the best basketball player my eyes have ever laid on.
Right. And it's not even close, too. That's what I find hilarious about the argument. Like, they try to make it seem like, well, if LeBron is the number one and he's close. Like, he's not close. Okay, what that guy did in the 2011 finals alone qualified him from the discussion. The fact that that Mavericks team, and anyone, I just challenge anyone, just go look at the roster the Mavericks had in 2011. Look at the ages on that team. And look who Miami had. And you tell me, how in the world did LeBron lose that series? And why did he perform the way he did the last two or three games? Jordan, and on the other hand, never performed poorly on the big stage like that ever, let alone allow a group of players to mentally break him several times. And it wasn't just the Mavericks. The Celtics did it to him before, and obviously the Warriors, but that's a different argument. But I've never seen a guy who's supposed to be the greatest ever be mentally broken down the way that LeBron has. And people still have the audacity to compare him to a guy like Jordan, who was not only the greatest athlete, but I think the greatest competitor we've ever seen in American sports, period. unbelievable.
Yeah. Nope. I'm a really good friend of mine who is a big LeBron fan. Whenever he says 23, I always give him a hard time and say, now, do you mean the real 23 or the follow-up? And I'd say the same thing, and no disrespect, because honestly, I think LeBron's one of the greatest players to play. No disrespect to the Isaiah Thomas that plays now. But whenever they say Isaiah Thomas, I always say, do you mean the one with the rings or the other one? There's a difference between the two. So, but yes, no, I see what you're saying. I think the Lakers would, have a hard time. But I think that they have enough to get by a first round. Now, I understand the matchups. I understand what you said. I also think that when it comes to playoff basketball, when it comes to ratings and it comes to eyes, even though I'm not a conspiracy theorist when it comes to refereeing, I think if there's a benefit of the doubt call and it's Memphis or L.A., it's going to go to L.A. first. So I think a lot of that has to do with it as well.
Right, I agree. But the way Memphis wins is overwhelmed them. And again, the depth is the key. And this actually goes back to the 2011 finals as well, if you want to bring it, just to tie that in. It was the same situation. Dallas had a deeper bench. Miami was more top-heavy. Their bench was weak. And so their depth played a role in where Rick Carlisle was able to have, you know, like a 12-man rotation. We kept bringing guys in, kept having fresh legs. That's similar to what Taylor Jenkins' whole, you know, strategy is in Memphis. And I think that'll pay off because the fact that the Lakers have guys like Jared Dudley alone playing minutes just tell you all you need to know. I mean, that should just tell you everything right there, let alone the fact that they're depending on guys like JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard. Come on, man. There's no way that team's winning tonight. I can't see that. That's where we come to as a league if we're at that point.
Hey, Mike, listen, man, I appreciate you calling. I hope you call in again. I hope you listen to the show again because anytime you want to call, the lines are open for you. Sorry about that wait, but I appreciate you taking the time today. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate it. You have a good one.
Yep. All righty. Thank you. So you heard it. That wasn't me this time. So don't at me. I didn't say it. Don't at me. I'm always the one getting yelled at. Don't yell at me this time. I'm innocent. Cave Show with PLR.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
You wonder how you do it. It's just one simple rule. I'm just cool.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. You youngins, y'all don't know nothing about that. You don't know nothing about that. Come back music, too. Now, I, you know, every day, and I got to give props here. Every day, I come back from commercial. And you guys know, as we come back from commercial, I'm politely telling people to shut up. So let's play it.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, hey, shut up. Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
So that's my boy, Scorp Easy. Anyway, the music that you hear when we usually come back from commercial break, this... was written and produced by him. So big shout out to him. I really appreciate that very much. But I just had to let you people know that sometimes when you come back with some stuff that's fire like Scorp did for me. And then sometimes you got to let just people know who you are. And this is The Cave Show with PLR. And if there's one thing you should know about me... coolest show on the radio. It's called self-promotion. I don't know what's wrong with me today, But anyway, let's get back to it. Let's get into the Diamondbacks. Enough tomfoolery, as my boy DJ Sean Haley used to say. Enough tomfoolery. Let's get into some baseball. The D-backs are coming back. They're ready to go. I've been on this tangent with all sports and talking about testing. We keep hearing testing, testing, testing. We know that the NHL just had a massive test and only two people came back positive. We know the NBA are testing, testing, testing. We know the NFL, they want to test, test, test. Baseball, test, test, test. And I've said this before, and I'm going to keep saying it. There's going to come a point where the public is going to ask a question about all these tests and how all these pro sports teams are getting tests. Tests are made available. They're getting them back in 24 to 48 hours. And the regular public is out there waiting for test results for 8 days, for 10 days, sitting in a car for 8 hours to get a test. And Torey Lovello, the manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, was asked, hey, do you feel some kind of way, basically, about the testing structure and how baseball players or athletes get them so quickly? And the public is kind of still just left there waiting.
We are very aware of it inside of this organization. And I think Major League Baseball, when we were first talking about coming back, and the managers were connected to some of the direct conversation, we were assured that it would not hinder the public's ability to get tested and do what they have to do to find out what's going on and to remain healthy. So that's as much as I know. I know some states are overwhelmed, one of them being ours, but we're very aware of the fact that there could be some interruption in timing, but we're going to continue to press on. Like I said, we've been assured that it won't hinder the general public's ability to get anything done that needs to be done.
And it's good to know that that's at least on their minds, it's in their conversations. I'm going to keep asking a question. Another reporter asked that question. Thank you very much. But the question will continue to get asked, what's going on? And we're doing everything to keep athletes safe. What are we doing, though, to keep people safe? The Diamondbacks came out, though, with their starting five, the five pitchers to start the year. The ace is no surprise. It's going to be Matt Bum. Bumgarner will be their ace, so-called ace. But they have so many other good pitchers. Robbie Ray will be number two. Zach Gallen will be number three. Luke Weaver is number four. And Merrill Kelly was named the fifth. So the Diamondbacks rotation is set. There's still pitching questions out there. So how they're going to pitch, how many innings, how they're going to set up the bullpen, who's going to do what, because we're in the sprint now. The sprint starts on Thursday. And Torey Lovello talked about, you know, we're still working on some of the details.
We have probably three or four different plans in place, and we don't know what it's going to look like once the season starts. You know, we've been talking about 15 and 15 or 16 and 14. Nothing has been firmed up yet. So guys are still going out there to perform and to earn what they need to. That's what I want to say from that point where we start. Now, backing that up, everything is very well planned on a daily basis. We have a lot of people that talk about pitch counts, talk about how to lay in different pitchers at different times to prepare them for a season. So everything has a strategy here. We don't want to put anybody in harm's way. We need a buildup to happen. And we're watching it happen with our starters. We've asked our relievers to give us a little bit more. I know Archie threw some extended through two innings. So it all depends on the timing, but there's definitely a strategy with some really good people on board to make sure these pitchers are getting what they need.
And Archie was talking about was Archie Bradley. Archie Bradley has become the face of the Diamondbacks. I know for the longest time it was Paul Goldschmidt, but Archie Bradley has become the face of the Diamondbacks. He's vocal. He talks about what's going on. He's sat down. He's talked about fantasy football. He's talked about March Madness. He's talked about everything from family stuff with the way COVID affected him and his family, and prayers to make sure that they all continue to do well. Not him catching it, but how it affected him watching his parents and his brother come down with it. And when you ever want to know the truth, you ever want to know what's going on, Archie Bradley is your guy. And he talked about Matt Bum being the opening day pitcher for the Diamondbacks.
When you have a guy like Bum, who's your quote-unquote ace, your guy who's leading the pack, You just look at what he's done. You look at his track record. Zach, you asked about, or Nick, you asked about, you know, pushing yourself more than you think you normally do. I think Madison Bumgarner is the ultimate example of that. You look at his track record. You look at his postseason. For him, this is, you know, a walk in the park in terms of pushing himself and leading us. And I, you know, he's not a guy who's going to say he's excited or talk about it, but I think he is ready to take on the role of an ace and be our leader this year in terms of, you know, leading us when we really need a guy to step up and pitch well for us.
And there you have it. And he also got into what's going on the team. Is he liking what he's saying? Is he worried about it? How's the team progressing? And just talking about the team in general.
I'm a nerd. I've been watching our live stream games. I've been watching the way guys throwing. I watched all of Robbie's pitches yesterday. I've been watching what Marte is doing, Vargy. Even guys who, you know, are probably borderline bubble guys. Look at what Varsho's doing. A ton of guys like that. For me, if we do get impacted by the virus or we have some early injuries, like I'm even excited about the guys that are on the extra 30, you know, or the 60 man, whatever you want to call it. I mean, from top to bottom, man, I really do think we are ready to play baseball.
There you have it. Diamondbacks are ready. Or as ready as you can get, right? They're ready to play baseball, though. They're ready to get this party rolling. They're ready to get it started. I was watching a game, though, last night. I was watching my beloved White Sox. I know you're saying, oh, I thought you were a Diamondback fan. I am. Listen, you cannot cover a team as long as I've covered the Diamondbacks and not feel some kind of way about them. You just can't. It's not possible. But I have a team, my childhood team that I grew up rooting for, the Chicago White Sox. Grew up watching that team. And the good thing is they're in two different leagues. They play each other like every 5 or 6 years. They don't ever really have a real like, oh crap, I got to root for them, this, that, because they barely play each other. So I'm pretty much safe with that. But when I was watching the game, I was watching the Chicago White Sox play that other team in Chicago, and it was weird. I don't care what anyone says. It was weird not having fans in the stands. I don't know if I felt like I was watching BP or exactly what I was watching, but it was weird. And I think after about a week or two, I may get used to it, per se. But right now, it's weird. As the players go, Archie, no fans in the stands. From a player's perspective, he talked about that.
This is an honest answer. I didn't even notice. You know, I think that kind of goes into play with some of the stuff I'm talking about. I mean, you definitely feel the crowd. I mean, before, like, getting ready today, with them playing the crowd noise all game, I definitely noticed it, and it helped with the awkward silence. But when I went into play and things started rolling, I'm going to be honest, I didn't even notice the uptick.
See, if they don't notice it, that's good. That means play won't suffer. Play will be play, and play will be the same. But the most important question is, will we finish the season? When we start it, will we finish it? Archie, what are your thoughts? Will we finish the season?
I think we all have to be realistic in what's going on, but Bob, you know me enough. Like, I'm always going to err on the side of positivity and the good side. And so I think whether it's in Virginia or we get moved to Alaska or wherever, as long as we can play the season, if it's on a college field, a high school field, the whole world is making adjustments right now. And us as big leaguers, us as owners, us as fans, as reporters, we all need to be willing to make those same adjustments if we want to play this season. And so I'm very optimistic and very positive that if we can all kind of have that attitude and be on the same page with wanting to play and understand there's going to be changes and adjustments and adversity, but at the end of the day, we're getting to put a uniform on, we're getting paid for it, and we're getting to go play baseball, then my confidence is very high. Because if everyone can have that attitude, and again, I'm back on 60 games, 100 games, I don't care. We're playing for a World Series this year, and that matters and means something to me and my teammates. And so wherever it is, we don't care, but we're very confident and very optimistic.
And that's said by Archie Bradley with the Diamondbacks. We'll be playing their games over at Chase Field. But if you're a Toronto Blue Jay, you don't know where the hell you're going to be playing. They're trying to talk with the Pittsburgh Pirates to see if they can stay at their crib while they're not there. So here's my issue with the city of Toronto, or rather with Canada. I understand Canada does not want people going back and forth to and from the United States with everything that's going on. I completely understand that. Took you until a few days before the season started to deny them. That part I kind of think was bullcrap. That was something that you should have attacked early, and you should have got it out of the way early and let them know. Now their choices were playing down in Florida. That's a hotbed for the devil, for COVID-19. Or they could play in Buffalo where the lights are. So I think you put them in a bad position. And there's nothing wrong. Like I said, if your decision was play there, understand. I'm not even mad at that. But your timing, it's terrible. You got the kids dressed. You got them ready. They're sitting in the car. They're ready to go to Six Flags. They've cracked open their piggy banks. They're ready to buy their own cotton candy and their own T-shirts. And you walk out and you say, you know what? I never said we would go, so we're not going to be able to go. That's kind of crappy. The reasoning, I understand. The timing is crappy. A couple things I don't understand, though. Their baseball park has a hotel. So if the players are quarantined at the hotel, at the park, does it really make that much of a difference? If they're coming into the country, or other teams are coming into the country, and they're literally getting in a car or a van or a bus or whatever you want to say, and they're going directly to the hotel, they could go from the tarmac to the bus, to the hotel. Would that have really been that big of a problem? Would that really have spiked your situation that much more? Now, I'm not saying you should go and let COVID run free. Don't get me wrong. I'm just trying to understand how that would make that much of a difference. Anyway, we need to step away. Time has got us. I really want to take calls today, but I'm not sure we're going to be able to get into everything with the NFL and with the Suns. We will try to squeeze in as much of it as possible. We'll do that right here on The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Hey, this is Mikal Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR for the home stretch. Thank you for hanging out with us today. I tell you what, that music is jamming. I have unsolicited comeback music from Scorpions. No one else can say that they have that. Thank you for joining me here on The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Like I said, we are in the home stretch. I overpromised and underdelivered, but I wanted to keep it up with the callers. I didn't want to cut anyone short. As two callers drop off, I apologize. Please give a call back tomorrow. I guarantee you I will get you in. I just don't want to cut anyone short when they're asking questions and talking. I'm not one of those radio shows that goes, you know, come on air, we got you. And then you call up, you ask one question, and in the middle of you saying, yeah, but I clicked. Thanks for the call, Steve in Kalamazoo. Appreciate you. That's not me. I want to hear you out as long as I possibly can. Unless you just say something completely asinine. Then, yeah, I'll get you moving. I promise you, Suns, I want to get into just a little bit of the Suns, but I want to touch on this part first because it has to do with basketball, but it has to do with life. Over the weekend, this country lost a big-time hero in John Lewis. One of the last people that was part of the Freedom March with MLK, and he was titled as the conscience of the Congress. And he passed at the young age of 80. And what this man endured for freedom, a lot of people couldn't endure one day of what he endured his life. If you just look at the photos of what he went through to ensure freedom for everyone. And I don't mean bullcrap in terms of just verbal abuse. This man was physically abused. So we can have rights. So there can be jobs for people that wouldn't normally have had those jobs, for voting rights, for the right to eat at whatever restaurant you so choose to be able to go shopping where you want to shop, to have the same freedoms that everybody would have. John Lewis fought for that and had an opportunity to ask Suns head coach Monty Williams when he learned about the passing of John Lewis, what he thought and what it meant to him. And I'm just going to sit back and let you hear what Monty Williams said about the life of the great John Lewis.
When you look at his life, ever since I can remember Mr. Lewis, I remember him as somebody who sacrificed for other people, whether it was marches, politically, using his position to be a voice for those who couldn't speak for themselves. And I think the term that I've heard in reference to him was he was the conscience of Congress, and that's something that, you know, is a great title and a great way to be remembered, and his ability to bring people together. And when you just look at, if you just did a cursory look of his bio, you would see it. And so when I heard about him passing, it's one of those moments that gave me pause. And his voice, you know, if you've ever heard him speak, his voice is one of those voices that sticks with you. And the things that he said with that voice, it inspired, you know, to be able to listen to someone who's been through so much and done so much for other people. And being an African-American activist, in the true sense of the word, you know, he wasn't just for African-Americans, he was for all people. And that's something that inspires me. He realized the plight of African-Americans in this country, but he also understood that we're only going to be the best country that we can be when all people are treated with human dignity that we all deserve. And, you know, sad to hear him pass, but also inspired, and many other words I could use that I was, you know, around to hear him talk, and I was able to see the things that he did in my, you know, my short life.
Honestly, that's going to wrap it with talking sports for the day. You can't top that. You can't top the accomplishments that John Lewis made for this country, obviously with the help of other people, but you have to pause sometimes when you lose a great one and acknowledge that. And I'm hoping that there were enough people that thanked him when he was alive, because there's nothing worse than people that come out and say, oh, I wish that they knew. Hopefully enough people that came into contact with him, or that from afar or from a letter or a text or anything, made sure that they said thank you for a lot of the stuff that he, as Monty said, not just for the African-American community, but for people, and trying to ensure that there's freedom for people in the country that we live in. That's going to wrap it up for us today. Tomorrow we will be back ready to roll out. A lot of the sound you heard was cut by the one and only Ed Cole. Make sure that if you ever need any type of video cutting or sound cutting, get in touch with him. His Instagram is Edward Cole, 301. He'll take care of you. I guarantee you he will hook you up. Make sure you're following us on all social media platforms, the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook, at the Sports Cave. Cave is with the K. Make sure you're getting us on our website at thesportscave.com. Again, like I said, there's a ton of shows up there. So make sure that you are definitely checking it out. You can get me directly at PLR on Sports on the Twitter. If you think all I do is talk sports there, though, you have another thing coming. Well, I'm still a good follow. Check it out. Tomorrow, we will have more. I will have more Suns for you. I promise. I will have more NFL for you. I promise. And tomorrow, we'll even have a little bit more of the WNBA to throw your way as well. So tomorrow's show will be packed and loaded as well. Phone lines will be open as well. Everything is going to go down right here on the Cave Show with PLR. Thank you, one. Thank you all. Oh, wait, I almost forgot. I will have sounds throughout the week as well. Sports media got together here in Phoenix, and we held a Zoom call of our own just to talk about how we think sports will go, how teams will do, and all that good stuff. So I'll play a little bit of that sound for you, too, as this week progresses. So there is a lot that's out there, and I will try to get all of it to you the best way and as soon as possible. So until tomorrow, until Tuesday, hopefully everyone has a great Monday. Be safe. Watch out for that devil out there known as COVID-19. Mask up and enjoy the rest of your day. Until tomorrow, this is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Mighty Temps, bring us home.